And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Okay, all right. I was going to go and get a beer out of the refrigerator, but they're still in there, by the way. I did look. They're still in there. But I thought it might be appropriate, even though it's not Friday, if I was going to get a beer, I should do it in the 4 to 5 o'clock hour. Right? Because on a Friday.
Well, that's one way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe one day to
do
it.
I usually start with one, but okay.
It's it reminds me of the time we had snow. It was a Friday. We had snow, and it was snowing, and I took a chair and put it outside of my driveway when I got home from work, right at 5:30.
Yeah.
And it was snowing, and I'm dressed really warm, and I'm from Buffalo, and it was like light falling snow, and it was just perfect. I went in the house. I got a glass of wine. I bring it out. My neighbor comes out. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Is that wine? He goes, isn't it a little early? And I went, no, this is Friday afternoon. This is my, for me, you know, 5:30 in the morning on a Friday morning is my Friday afternoon. This is Friday happy hour after a tough week of work.
Yeah, I've done that once or twice. And then I had to remember, I live in a school zone.
It's
got to be careful.
Well, I did the alcohol analogy to get to this next story because I went, oh, wow. And I don't believe you could do this in the United States, but here it is. The British government's plan for a landmark smoking ban that aims to stop young people from ever smoking cleared its first hurdle in Parliament on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The bill, a key policy announced by the Prime Minister last year, would make it illegal to sell tobacco products to anyone born after January 1st, 2009. If passed, the bill would give Britain some of the toughest anti-smoking measures in the world. Authorities say it will create modern Britain's first smoke-free generation. Under the Tobacco and Vapes Bill, children turning 15 this year or younger will never be legally sold tobacco. Once implemented, officials are aiming for 2027. The legal age of sale that people in England can buy cigarettes will be raised 1 year every year until it is eventually illegal for the entire population. The bill also includes measures to crack down on youth vaping, such as the banning of the sale of cheap disposable vapes and restricting their flavors to prevent children from becoming addicted to nicotine. It is currently illegal for anyone to sell cigarettes or tobacco products and vapes to people under 18 years of age throughout the UK. During the bill's second reading late Tuesday, 383 lawmakers voted in favor while 67 opposed it after an afternoon of debate. Although the bill was widely praised by health experts and had support of the opposition Labor Party, the prime minister faced rebellion from more libertarian-minded members of his party who criticized the proposals as unconservative. That means cigars, too? Because you know what it shows on the front, the picture. I'm reading this from Breitbart.
Yeah.
It shows Winston Churchill with his big cigar in his mouth.
yeah. Right.
But think about this, though. They raise the age each year where, okay, they raise it because it'll take place in 2027, so it'll be 2009, so you would be 18. The next year it would be 19. The next year, 20. The next year, 21. The next year, 20. It would keep going up in age.
Right.
So there would be people that could be 24 years of age that couldn't buy, in a couple of years, that couldn't buy tobacco, but if you're 25, you could. And I said the reason that probably would be found unconstitutional in the United States, because you can't separate what adults can do by age.
Right.
You can't do that. I mean, 21, you know, there's a great debate. When are you an adult, 18 or 21? And there are certain things that you can't do before you're 18, and some you can't do before you're 21. But once you're 21, you're a full-fledged adult in the United States. And so you can't separate and say, okay, people under 30 can't do this, and people over 30 can. Apparently in Great Britain you can, which is why we broke away from them.
Yeah, that's one reason, because we needed our cigarettes.
Well, there was nicotine in tea, was there not?
Well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of what went into the water wasn't just tea, it was tobacco. the cigarette tax. This is an interesting look at, once again, basically the overall idea of outlawing tobacco in a world that is increasingly decriminalizing marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the legalization thing started, you know, when it was like Tommy Chong, the staff at High Times magazine, and about a couple hundred other people screaming legalize it, you could say, okay, all right, legalize it, and everybody was saying legalize it and tax it, and I was saying no, legalize it and be done. Tax it like any other product. But of course they can't stop there. And if they ever got to the federal level and decriminalizing on the federal level, we've already talked about that, they want their 8% cut. That would be another 8% federal tax on that product. But then you get into the discussion about, well, this is bad for you, that's bad for you, this is bad for the environment. You and I have had this discussion. It wouldn't take as long for it to get back to being, oh, yeah, no, we need to make it illegal again. And if you're going to get into that game, you know, on tobacco, and they can come in and say, okay, it's going to be illegal. Now, you can't get that support. You can't get that public support.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letter CPRedEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Remember when they came in with the rule on the flavored vape oils and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, we don't know the long-term effects of this stuff that you're inhaling and all that. Well, you can start to apply basically, you know, that same thought as you get closer and closer to this idea of making cigarettes illegal, then vaping illegal, marijuana once again illegal. Let's have a conversation about alcohol again. That's where the resistance would be. Keep in mind, during the global pandemic, alcohol sales went through the roof, and it's the one thing they wouldn't shut down. Remember, they started changing, including our state. Alcohol to go laws. They started, we'll just make it easier. We'll put in a caveat. Yeah, you got to buy some food or something, but go ahead and let them buy their liquor to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, from restaurants and everything else. This is, you know, the conversation that we've had for a long time. You know, whether smoking should be illegal and then, okay. It's like that dangerous dog idea. Well, this is the most dangerous dog. Then no more ownership of this. By the way, Great Britain outlawing pit bulls. You know, this is one more example of things that can be done in a society. Well, then the next dangerous dog that was second most dangerous dog yesterday is now the first most dangerous dog. And you're going to have to get into the, you know, then all of a sudden nobody can own a chihuahua. And it really gets down to, you know, that idea of, you know, eliminating risk or harmful things. Well, let's talk about red meat. Well, let's talk about sugar. But the left has already gone here, by the way. And they've gone here for a long time here in the U.S. The soda cup size ban in New York City, 42% in a poll of people in New York City approved of that. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that you look at and they say, well, no, they should regulate our salt. They should regulate our sugar. They should regulate all these things. Well, they can regulate everything out of existence. And to what end?
We saw what happened during COVID.
Right.
Where there is no reason and there never was any reason. There was never any science saying the kids needed to be locked down.
Right.
There was no science backing that, yet it was done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that government will do things that aren't, that they will force things, we see with the radical transgender movement, that have not based in science at all, but just based on a narrative, and will go after you, jail you, arrest you, for doing things that don't harm anybody.
Right.
And so you look at it and you say, you know, I know from my doctor, you know, being a type 2 diabetic, you know, that's smoking. I mean, that's the one, you know, thing. And he knows I don't smoke. But, you know, I still got to ask the question from the nurse again when I went in this time. Just going over your thing again. Do you smoke? No. And they want to know. And what do they ask? Do you smoke? How often do you drink?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the questions that they bring in. Why do they bring those in? Because they're viewed as harmful, right?
Right.
That's why.
Yeah.
And then my doctor wants to know, I'm a type 2 diabetic, so almost everything is poison to me. Anything with carbs or sugar is heroin to me.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you say, where do you go? And you make a point that if smoking is gone, does drinking go next? And then you have that, and then you have, you know, the medical which, by the way, is abused majorly, as we all know, for pot. It's abused, you know, massively across the nation. And then recreational pot in so many different ways to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw, look, it was huge when Portland said, we need to start recriminalizing hard drugs.
Right.
It's huge. I mean, the pendulum's going the other way.
Right.
Don't be surprised, you know, if you see it start moving the other way based on what you said, which is the most dangerous, you know, dog example.
Right.
Because if you get rid of smoking, then drinking will be next, right?
Well, it's this idea that we can legislate death away. And the fact of the matter is no, death is a pre-existing condition. Everyone has it. And these are the, you know, the things you look at as in a free society. Is smoking a good idea? No. No.
Is rock climbing a good idea?
No. No.
Is, I'm thinking of some of the things, I never rock climb. Is flipping in a race car dangerous? I've done that.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's so many things that you could say add risk to what people do. You know, one of the things I do, and I do it constantly, and I know people that have been actually hurt or killed, is riding their bicycle.
Mm, yeah.
Ride your bicycle on a busy street.
Right.
You know, what's more dangerous, riding your bicycle constantly 10 miles a day in a busy street? Right. Or drinking moderately. Who knows?
Right.
And you see that it changes all the time on drinking. Well, moderate drinking's okay, and moderate drinking has some health benefits 2 weeks later. Any alcohol consumption at all is dangerous.
Right.
And it's like, okay, where do I go with this one?
Well, I mean, again, it's as if they, you know, that we can take, that we can eliminate all risk. And we as a society, as creatures, we actually are pretty good at assessing our risk on a daily basis. Do we sit and crunch the numbers before we get in a car and drive? No.
No.
But we know the risk. We are aware of it. And it's, you know, those are the things that, again, bring us back to the question, how far do we want to be governed? And that's what it comes down to is, you know, the irony here. And I don't know what the laws in Great Britain are on marijuana. Have they legalized it over there? I'm not sure.
No, it is not legal. Medicinal is, but it's not legal for recreational.
So, yeah. What about medicinal tobacco? I mean, you look at these things because if it calms your nerves, they say it calms your nerves.
Well, no, smoking a big cigar in a social situation can be a relaxing thing.
Well, they say nicotine calms your nerves. I've never had a smoking habit. I'm not sure if that works that way, but it's that question in a free society.
Yeah. And by the way, though, it's just not the smoking of it. It's the vaping of any nicotine.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be gone. And then they're talking about, well, all nicotine products gone. So it's not just the carcinogens that give you lung cancer and give you heart in the arteries and an increase in stroke, whatever. It's the actual drug, which doesn't do the same thing as if you're smoking it and getting the carcinogens inside of your lungs.
Right. It's highly addictive.
Blood system. So it's a nicotine. So if you ban nicotine, and then they talk about vaping, well, they're still trying to figure out, because so many people are vaping these days, what type of effect does vaping have on your lungs when it expands your lungs when it goes in?
Right.
And there have been problems with it, as they know.
Right.
So then that's gone. Well, if that's gone, why isn't drinking gone?
Right. I mean, we can have the conversation about, again, how much we want to govern right out of our lives.
And then the next thing is probably would be pot. Are we? Well, that question is already being asked right now.
I think so. Yeah.
Are we? Yeah. You know, because now they're finding out. Remember, what was it? Remember back in the, well, you might not remember, early 70s. Pot makes you schizoid. You heard that all the time. It's like, well, that's ridiculous. Now they're finding out, as we have more research, there are definitely health problems for people that are doing pot.
Right.
Smoking and otherwise.
And then the conversation will start all over again.
Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
In this country today, there are still places where people don't have easy access to fresh, healthy foods, such as fruits and vegetables, but there's a lot of work going on to change that. The latest development coming this week from Deputy Agriculture Secretary Sochil Torres-Small, who told reporters...
USDA Rural Development and the Reinvestment Fund are announcing the selection of 16 partnerships that will receive more than $40 million in grants under the Healthy Food Financing Initiative Partnerships Program to expand access to nutritious and affordable foods in 20 states and in Washington, D.C.
Grants will be used by local organizations to do things like establishing new local markets and supply chains and helping local food retailers to offer more fresh produce for their customers.
So people who live in some of the most remote parts of the country don't have to travel so far from home to find fresh, healthy food.
And farmers don't have to ship their products hundreds of miles just to find buyers for them. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, you start thinking out because Great Britain looking to ban cigarettes and or tobacco and how they're going to do it, because it's not just smoking. It would be any type of nicotine products. And you say, okay, then after that, what do you go after? Do you go after drinking? Do you go after pot? And I started thinking, because it was on the other day, by the time we get to Demolition Man, they might be banning caffeine and coffee. And at that point, I'm down in the sewers with Dennis Leary,
who's going to be smoking like crazy.
Because
he loves smoking.
Bringing on the chaos, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, yesterday, there were a number of stories out there, but the one story was after the Tuesday, after they walked over the articles of impeachment, the House to the Senate. As we said on yesterday's show, expect Schumer to get rid of this as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bring up all the constitutional issues you want. You can talk about the hypocrisy of the Democrats impeaching Trump twice and then having a trial, where again he was not kicked out of office. And you can say they're hypocrites because, yeah, especially the second charge, lying before Congress. It's obvious that he did that. It's obvious Mayorkas lied when he said the border was secure. Everyone knows it. So you can talk about the constitutional issues and the Senate not doing, you know, what's constitutionally required of them to take the House seriously when an impeachment, when the articles of impeachment are brought to them to at least consider their merits that they wouldn't do. All well and good, and there was a lot of discussion on that. But that's not what this comes down to in the real world.
Right.
When the real world, what this comes down to is the fact of Democrats were scared to death, absolutely scared to death to have any of this come out. Immigration over the last couple of months has even beaten inflation. Excuse me, the border. I don't want to say immigration. Mm-hmm. The border even beats inflation. And inflation is bad.
Yeah.
And so what that shows is what has happened by dispersing mostly from the federal government and the Biden administration, migrants all over the country. This issue has become, as we predicted it would, even if the mainstream media ignored what was going on in major liberal cities, it would be covered by the local media and it would become a huge issue. And so when you have, for example, as we brought you yesterday, in Massachusetts, the number one issue, immigration. In Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know you have a problem. They cannot touch. Mayorkas comes off, and you and I talked about this yesterday. He comes off as a cold and callous pathological liar because it's obvious that he doesn't want to answer the questions. And when he did, the one big question, this is where Republicans win on this, no matter whether you had a trial or not have a trial, and that you cannot beat Mayorkas saying the border is secure and the administration saying the border is secure. You can't win that one. Americans look at that and say, that's a lie. And you can debate all you want or change the definition of the word secure. If you wish to do that, it's not going to hold water with the American public. Impeachment is a political process that is the beginning of removing somebody from office. But it's also a political process, which means, and I do believe that the goal here was not to remove Mayorkas from office. It was, if they follow the rules, we can present all of this to the American people over a period of, two or three weeks. And it's more impressions for the November 2024 election. That's what I believe this was all about. And still, it's what it's about because now you have every single Democrat senator, every single one. And this is how the Republicans should, phrase it. Every single Democrat voted to have no accountability for the chaos at the border created by the President of the United States and Secretary Mayorkas. And you pound that day in and day out, and you pound the fact of the criminal illegal immigrants that have gotten into the country because of the policies of it.
There's not one Democrat in the Senate who escapes
right.
some negative effect here. Those who are safe, it's not going to change the results of an election if they're up for re-election this year. But it is going to hurt every single one of them, and that's the problem that their party has. They're basically, because, again, what they were telling their constituents and their states yesterday is we don't care about the problem in the border.
And they can't win this. And the Democrats right now in the Senate that look like they're going to be challenged and they may lose. You just pound this on them. You pound it every single day because the Democrats are saying, well, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
But the public knows. The polls show the public knows there's something there. And you and I have talked about this on every single issue right now. The Republicans lead on this. The Republicans have landslide numbers on all the important issues, including immigration, where they stand.
Right.
And the public understands that the vast majority of problems that we have here are not organic problems that this administration and the Democrats can't solve. They're problems that this administration and the Democrats caused. And they're not following the law. And then you take the criminal illegal immigrants into this country and murders of U.S. citizens, and you promote it, and that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can win this, and you can keep referencing back to it. Every single Democrat doesn't care about the chaos on the border and does not care about the chaos in New York City, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, everything that you're going through. They care more about criminal illegal immigrants than they care about you.
Oh, yeah.
You're not calling all of the migrants criminals. What you're doing is talking about the fact that there is no accountability for anybody in Mayorkas or the president or anybody else in the administration. There's no accountability for this mess, and there seems to be no caring when an American citizen is killed by clearly somebody who should have been deported from the country. And I'm going to play a little bit of, we played this earlier. I want to play it again because this was Ted Cruz hitting all the points we said the Republicans have to hit. Anybody who says, well, the Republicans lost or they have nothing. No, you just loaded them up with more ammunition.
Yep.
Might have been better, yeah, if they could have gotten, you know, if they could have gotten a trial and had those impressions each and every day for the next month. But Republicans knew they weren't going to get that. We told you yesterday and the day before, Schumer's not going to allow this, and the Republicans know it. But the Republicans want this to say, this shows that, this actually makes it so, to me, if you market it correctly, if you sell the message correctly, this goes now beyond Mayorkas and the president. This goes directly to the Senate.
Yep.
You're going after the senators and saying the senators, the Democrat senators, don't care about the chaos at the border. They don't care about the chaos in your cities. They don't care about your dwindling budget in the cities because of what Biden is doing illegally at the border. He's not following federal law. In doing it, they don't care about it, and they don't care when criminal illegal immigrants kill American citizens. You sell that, and you sell that hard.
Well, and on top of that, Biden has executive power to change all this. Of course, he pretends he doesn't, right. And that affects him, too, in those states.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it affects everybody.
And so, yeah. You know, it's not going to, this isn't going to go away. Schumer had no choice but to do what he did yesterday politically. There was no other way. He had to do this and try and get it behind him, but the effect of it right. is going to last at least until November 5th.
Yeah, if anybody believes that they, you know, because I saw, you know, the arrogance of what he, it's not arrogance of why he did it. They're scared to death of this issue.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't arrogance you saw from the...
No, he was running from it.
They're faking. They're yep. faking arrogance and confidence in this. They're scared to hell of the border issue right now.
They didn't even want to have a discussion on it.
Yep. No discussion. No reasoning.
Nothing. Nothing.
They don't want to get involved in it. It's just,
nothing.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. End of story.
Right.
Because they're scared to death. They know they can't win if they try to debate the issue. Here's Ted Cruz yesterday.
In the 237 years of our nation's history, I don't know that there has been a more shameful day in the United States Senate than today. What we just witnessed was a travesty. It was a travesty to the United States Constitution, and it was a travesty to the American people. And it's important to understand why the Democrats did what they did. We're here on the Senate floor right now, but I want the record to reflect. I'm going to do a very accurate count of the number of Democrats who are with us. That would be zero, other than the presiding officer, and somebody has to preside. Not a single Democrat senator chose to come to this floor and listen to one word of evidence. When it comes to the Constitution, the Democrats concluded that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas, defying federal law, ignoring the text of the statute, deliberately releasing criminal illegal aliens over and over and over again, that's just hunky-dory. You can't impeach him for that. Every Democrat just voted. By the way, every cabinet member, guess what? You've just been given a blank slate. Ignore the law. When Democrats are in charge of the Senate, the entire cabinet could ignore the law. It is no longer impeachable in Democrat wonderland when a member of the executive branch openly defies the law. By the way, every Democrat just voted that way. They didn't hear one word of argument. The majority leader didn't stand up and say, here's the reason why it's okay. No, he didn't present that argument. They didn't read a brief. Nobody wrote a brief. They didn't care enough to know what Senator Lee just laid out, that the Biden Department of Justice went in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and said if the executive defies the law, the answer is impeachment. The willingness of every Democrat to be blatantly hypocritical. Just last year, the Biden Justice Department said, no, you can't sue in court When we, the Biden administration, defy the law, the answer is impeachment. And like three-card Monty, every Senate Democrat said, no, the answer is not impeachment. I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know what it is. There's only one answer left, which is everyone who is unhappy about the open border shows up in November and, to use the phrase, throw the bums out.
There you go. Basically laid it out. Because what's the argument back if you're a Democrat? There's just nothing there.
You don't have one.
There's just nothing there. And so that's their argument. What does the public think? The public knows by a wide majority there's something there. And that's why the Republicans did what they did, because now they can pound on they can continue to pound on Mayorkas. They can continue to pound on Biden. They can continue. They've brought now every vulnerable senator into this debate that they don't care. They don't care about the chaos on the border. They don't care about the chaos in the cities. And they don't care if illegal immigrant criminals kill American citizens. And the Democrats' response is only, we don't want to talk about it. There's nothing there. And the public already knows there's something there.
Right. They're turning their back. Yep. Just like the head of their party does repeatedly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. We have any economic numbers coming out in the next day or two? I just wondered.
I think the WDI comes out later today. That's the We're Doomed Index, and it's mine. I'm putting it out. And it's at 100%. Well, it may go to 110%.
We have some advice for the president today. No talk on cannibals, okay?
Yeah, right.
No cannibal talk.
Yeah, exactly.
When I read it, I first thought it said cannabis because you're so used to it. I'm like,
right.
That doesn't make sense.
What?
His father, what? Uncle Bozo and cannabis? Oh, cannibals. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
He had such a horrible day yesterday. And I'll say it again.
Yeah, it was bad.
If every day is like yesterday where Trump's in court and Biden is out, sort of reversed where you don't hear from Trump, but you hear from Biden every day, that's not good for Biden.
No,
He was just horrible yesterday. He was stumbling over everything. He couldn't get anything out.
And he's looking around at people, you know, like, hey, you buying what I'm saying? I mean, it was so bad. The optics were horrible. But he's the guy. He's fine. More vigor than anyone else they've ever seen.
It's going to be a great couple of months here.
Yeah.
Man.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.